Welcome to church, everybody. I am so glad that you're with us. Grab your Bibles, if you would. Matthew chapter 13 is where we're going to spend most of our time. We're going to finish up in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So if you're new to the Bible, open it up right to the middle and take a right, and you're going to hit Matthew in just a few pages. If you're an old Bible reader, you like the actual pages itself, you know what to do. If everybody else, so you probably have a digital copy, and you're going to be just fine. Just press in Matthew. You'll find it. It'll be fun. Welcome back to church, everybody. I'm so glad you could be here. Thank you for your generosity. You guys are keeping us afloat in the midst of crazy times, and it's just such an honor to be here. I'm so grateful for each of you. Thank you for supporting us through your participation, through your tithes, through your offerings, through your obedience to the Lord. It's been a crazy season, and to know that we can count on God's people stepping up and helping, it's just been wonderful to see and to experience. Thank you for that. We've seen a lot of people just solve and meet needs. I was expecting to have to receive multiple phone calls to coordinate massive relief efforts for our city. None of those phone calls came because you guys just took care of people's needs. I love that. I love that we didn't have to coordinate it. We didn't have to put out a massive call and these people need help. Like, hey, Pastor, we got it. We're Texas, baby. We got it. So I know that we've been declared as a state of disaster, but I just feel like, no, this is a state of people helping people. Amen. So we're not burning down stuff. We're not rioting. We're not looting. We're helping people. Yeah. We've got more four-wheel drive trucks here than you can throw a stick at. Yeah. We're going to be fine. We're going to be just fine. We've got generators. We're running extension cords from one person's house to the next person's house and just stealing. We'll find a way. We will find a way. We're Texas strong, and I'm so proud to be a part of a group of people that love to help each other. It's been an amazing season in spite of the craziest things we've had to walk through. It's powerful to see us working together. It does my heart good. I hope that you notice that. These are unusual times, and what we're seeing is unusual things, but we're also seeing fantastic things as the people of God, as brothers and sisters come together. We lay aside our differences and just get to the issue. Let's just help. Let's just help. It's a wonderful thing. It's a powerful thing to be a part of it. I've almost got carpal tunnel this week. Maybe some of you can relate to me just from turning the faucet a little bit on and a little bit off, like trying to get that perfect little drip in our faucets to make sure that we keep running water. And I was fortunate enough, we didn't have anything lost except for Wi-Fi. And if there's one thing that you don't mind losing, it's Wi-Fi. Everything else, it's gonna be fine. So we were just a little bored. But after that, we're like, hey, there are people that are living here. Like, look at that. Oh yeah. I got a family. Look at that. We actually talked. It's weird. I don't recommend it. No, I'm just kidding. But if you're gonna run out of something, hey, I'll take Wi-Fi any day. And for those of you that had to deal with less, you know, I understand. I'm so grateful that you're still here. It's good to see you. I'm glad you're still here. 4 million Texas residents lost power this week. And of course, as soon as we do, you know, it's whose fault is it and who's to blame? It's easy for us to do that. And as I was watching the state of Texas this week, I was reminded by the Lord of a passage in Matthew 13 where there was a massive power outage. And you know, there was no one to blame except for themselves in this moment. And it led me back to this series that we're doing, God in the Box. And it was all brought to me by this simple scripture that says, as far as it depends upon you. I was drawn to those few words, as far as it depends upon you, because there are some things that God has available to his people that are 100% dependent upon you. Yes. You. And when it comes to the supernatural power that God provides to each and every believer, you serve an unlimited source of power, God. You serve a powerful God. Yes. His arm is not short. There is nothing that our God can't do. He's a powerful God. And God says, I've given you, speaking of Christians, divine power to not just work around strongholds, not just to recognize strongholds. It says to demolish strongholds. Jesus says, I've given you authority to trample on serpents. I've given you the authority to drive out demons. I've given you supernatural power. We have an amazing God that is a supernatural, unlimited, powerful God. But it's difficult to recognize when we have power outages. You see, it's easy for us to recognize it in your home. And some of you are just waiting for the moment. You're like, oh, please stay on, please stay on, please stay on this entire week because it was cold outside. And as soon as power shut off, your heart sinks, anxiety goes nuts. You start freaking out and thinking, okay, how am I gonna get a generator? Who do I know has a generator? Are they still my friend? Do I owe them money? Did I return this generator the last time that I used it? It's easy for us to come up with a plan when we're out of power in our homes, but yet spiritually, it's a little different. It's a little difficult to recognize when we're not operating in the power that God has in store for his people. You have been given incredible power, but unfortunately, most of us as believers never walk in the authority that Christ has given us. He says, you've been given power to demolish strongholds, and we still live with strongholds. So if it has nothing to do with the amount of power that God has provided for us, then perhaps the reason why our power spiritually is not where it's supposed to be, it's because we didn't pay the bill. And some of you are thinking, okay, he's about to preach a message about money. No, I'm not talking about money. But you know, the first thing that we ought to do when we've lost power in our homes is check the breaker. You ever done that? Realize, okay, this is not because someone passed a law. This is not because Ted Cruz went on vacation. This is not because of AOC's Green New Deal. This is because I didn't pay the bill or because I just didn't flip the breaker. I just tripped the breaker. This is my fault. Let's think about this spiritually. There's no one to blame when we're spiritually out of power except for us. And there are some easy things that we can do, some very simple, very basic things that God has hidden in his word to allow us to walk in the power and the authority that he has given to each and every believer. You have power. You have power that you could not imagine. And in Matthew 13, Jesus walks into his own hometown. And as the supernatural Son of God walks into Nazareth, the power of God is walking with him, the power to do miracles, the power to see demons run, the power to watch everything change. It's literally standing right in front of them, teaching them, willing to do whatever needs to be done, and they don't see it. As a matter of fact, instead of embracing what Jesus has in store for them, they take offense at it and they turn the other way. And it's easy for us to read the scripture and say, what is wrong with those people? But it's not quite as easy for us to say, we are just like that. So many times the power of Christ is right in front of us and we choose to not see it. You see, I don't believe that we have an issue believing how big our God is, how powerful he is. When we talk about the power of God, I'll get a lot of amens. But when we talk about our issues and our failure to walk in the power that God has given us, when what we can do affects what God is willing to offer us, we don't want to talk about that. Because you're telling me that there's some of this responsibility is on me? Yes, it's on you. And this series, God in the Box, is all about the things that we can do as believers to embrace what God has in store for us, the things that we've done to limit the power of God in our lives. And we see this happening in Matthew 13. Look at this. It says in verse 54, coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue and they were amazed. I love that word amazed. It's the Greek word ekplesso, which you might misinterpret as espresso. No. But the effect is the same. It's an eye-opening moment where their senses are shook. And some of you are just like, yes, that's exactly what I have when I have my first cup of coffee in the morning, an eye-opening moment where my senses are like, yes, Jesus, our God is good. And today might just not be the worst day of my life. I've had my first cup of coffee. You may speak to me now. I'm ready to rule. But the Greek word ekplesso means to have an eye-opening moment where your senses are shook, you are amazed, your jaw drops. This is a powerful, supernatural moment where Jesus begins to teach in his hometown and they have been in the presence of greatness. Jesus begins to speak, he begins to teach, and their eyes open and they're shocked, they're amazed by the things that he reveals out of God's word. Just like today, I'm almost as good. I'm nowhere near. Get a lot more amens on that one. I was gonna throw it out there and see what happens. Look what they say. They say, where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? They asked. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? Aren't his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? We went, wait a minute, he went to middle school with me. He's an average carpenter. He made a table for me one time that still has one of the legs that doesn't quite sit on there. I had to put like Sweet and Low packets underneath that one leg. He's okay. He's a decent carpenter. He can't really be able to do these things. He's from Nazareth. And as a matter of fact, this town had a label upon this town. Those of you that know and have studied your Bible know that there is a statement that began to encapsulate what this town was all about. And the statement was this: can anything good come from Nazareth? Can anything good come from here? And not only was it something that they said, not just was it said as a joke, it's something that they began to embrace. Oh, we're just Nazareth. Just little old Nazareth. Nothing good comes out of Longview. Nothing good comes out of my family. Nothing good comes from here, so you can't be all that. Who do you think you are? And instead of being the hometown hero that comes back and lights up the town with the supernatural power of God, instead of all the things that have happened in other cities happening there, they miss out on the power of God because they normalize it. They rationalize it. They put a label on it as it's just like everything else that we see around here. It's just average. Ain't nothing good can come out of this. Who does he think he is? Where did this man get all these things? And then it says, and then they took offense at him. So there's this power up moment where they're amazed and shocked by what he says. And then when they begin to remember where he's from, here comes the offense. Wait a minute. Nazareth. Oh yeah. This can't be that great. They took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town and in his own home. Not without honor. The Greek word adamos there, which means a prophet has respect everywhere else, but in his own town, you guys disrespect me. Why? He says, you don't understand the power that is here. If you would just recognize what's standing right in front of you, it's the supernatural power of God. The word made flesh, he's here. He's in our town. He's here. You know, there's a buzz that happens in Longview anytime McConaughey comes back. For those of you that don't know, if you're watching online, McConaughey's here. Sometimes we claim him depending on how well you know him. All right. All right. All right. And when he comes back, you know, there are people that are like, oh my gosh, McConaughey's here. We've got to go see McConaughey, wherever he's at. Then there's other people like, I went to high school with him. He's not all that. He wasn't that good looking until he got his teeth fixed. He wasn't that good looking. My sister dated him. He was okay. And just depending on how you receive, how you remember him, then you label him as whatever. I get it. When Neil McCoy shows up in your restaurant or shows up on your job, oh my gosh, Neil McCoy's here, the hometown hero, homeboy made good. Forrest Whitaker, the actor, but is also from Longview. We've got a lot of famous people from here. And for some people, it's a great experience. For others, it's like, oh, I went to high school with him. He's okay. Oh, I know his parents. And this is how they treat Jesus. Some received him, but this town says, no, wait a minute. He's from Nazareth. Not all that. And they begin to take offense at him. And Jesus says, you're disrespectful. Why? He goes on to say, and he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. I wonder how many miracles we've missed out on as a people because of our lack of faith. I wonder how many amazing moves of God we never saw because we just wouldn't believe, or that we normalized it, or we put a label on it, or we said, no, it can't happen that way because it needs to be more spectacular. And God's like, no, sometimes it's simple. But God, I want something loud and big. And God says, yeah, but I'm whispering. There's a scripture that says, be still and know that I'm God. Well, I want something with a lot of fanfare. That's miraculous. And sometimes it's not what you want, not what you think. They couldn't recognize. Nazareth had a power problem. And it wasn't Jesus. It was their lack of faith. And as 4 million Texans struggled with power this past week, I wonder how many Christians are struggling with power and don't even know it. Don't even know it. You see, when our power gets shut off at our home, we get loud quick. We get creative quick. We want to figure out how in the world we're going to solve this issue. But yet, when the power is draining in our own spiritual lives, sometimes we don't recognize it as quick. But we start getting lethargic. We start becoming ineffective. We start becoming negative. We start losing discipline, walking back from the power that God has for our lives. We start falling into old patterns. begin to think things like Nazareth thought. Wait, can anything good come out of me? Can God really do something powerful in me? Can God really do something powerful in my marriage? Does he even care? And there's a power surge waiting for us, right in front of us, if we would just recognize that this is a spiritual issue that depends upon us to solve. Jesus says, I'm not doing many miracles there. Why? Because you won't recognize it. You won't believe. You only want things your way. You put your label upon it. You put your presuppositions upon it. And their lack of faith kept them from experiencing all the power that God has in store for them. As we're recognizing power problems, I want to give you three ways that we can easily diagnose power problems in our life, things that can show us that we're not operating in the power that God has called for us. And hopefully at the end of this message today, you'll not be able to just recognize it, but be able to turn from those things and say, God, I want all that you have in store for me. I don't want to miss out on a single thing that you're doing. I trust you, and I know that you have good things. And if there's supernatural power for me to walk in, I want it. I'm in. Everything that God has is good. I want everything that he has. I don't want to miss out on anything. I hope that's your prayer as well. So as we're looking at this city and how they've rejected Jesus, how they've rejected his miracles and his authority, how they've turned off the supernatural power that was right there for them, I want to show you three things that I think will help you to see these things in our own life and hopefully be able to remedy this by being obedient to what God has through his word. The first thing that we see, if you're a note taker, you might want to write this down. We're looking through the wrong eyes. And believe it or not, you have two sets of eyes. There is your natural eyes, which fail, which some of us have to wear glasses, some are wearing contacts. Some of us had LASIK, so you don't have to wear glasses or contacts, but we still know you're blind as the rest of us. But there's also a different set of eyes, spiritual eyes. Paul says, Lord, open their eyes. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, that you would know the amazing things that God has in store for you. You have a second set of eyes. There's a different way of viewing things. And this city, Nazareth, determined who Jesus was by looking only through their natural eyes. They only saw what they wanted to see. They said, isn't this Mary's son? Isn't this the carpenter guy? But I know his brothers. They used to pull pranks on us. His brothers used to pull my hair. And it negated all the wonderful, amazing things that Jesus had just taught because they're only seeing things through natural eyes. And God forbid that we come to church on a Sunday morning and do the exact same thing. God forbid that we open up his word and only see the words and never let it change us, never see the power that's here. There's a different set of eyes that God is wanting us to look at, but they instead look at him naturally and they get jealous of his success. You ever done that? You ever had somebody around you have a good moment or have something really great happen to them? You're like, I could have done it better than you. She sings okay. Can't believe they won the lottery. Can't believe they got something. I remember this happened to me. This is a big heart check for me. Now, my wife has no issues at all. She's the most spiritually perfect person in the world, but I am messed up from the neck up. Constantly have to deal with stuff, and she's the one that's just like, hey, that's really dumb. We had some pastor friends of ours that someone had blessed them with a new car. Took them to a car dealership and said, the Lord moved upon our heart. We're paying for anyone that you want. They had just adopted some kids and the person wanted to bless them with a minivan. And so took them to this car lot and blessed them with a brand new car. And while everyone else was like, man, what an awesome gift for a pastor. I'm like, I've been in ministry longer than them. I never got a new car. Nobody ever did that for me. And then that same family did it for another pastor on staff. Another one. And you would think I would learn my lesson. I'm like, you know what? This is a great thing. But in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, that's two down and there's four of us. So the odds are getting better. And then another pastor got another car. You know who didn't? Like, every month where I pay my car payment, I'm like, this is stupid. Every other pastor gets free cars. On top of that, Another pastor got a house. Family showed up and said, we want to bless you. This is a home that was built, custom made for you and your adopted children. We want to love you and bless you. And they're crying, oh, I got a home. This is so awesome. Thank you, Jesus. I'm like, that's stupid. Look at this old dump we're living in. Stupid house. Nobody ever blesses us with stuff like that. This old dump we're living in. Hate this house. And every month you make your house payment. Stupid. We see the exact same thing happening when we look through the wrong set of eyes. And instead of being happy when someone makes good, we get jealous. I'm sure not we, it's just me. I'm the only one with that issue. No, just me, just me. But they can't believe the power that's right in front of them and they don't see it because they're looking through the wrong set of eyes. You know, if Jesus would have listened to that, he'd have gotten super discouraged, which is exactly what happened to me. Get super discouraged when everybody else gets blessed, but not me. That I forget all the things that God has done for me. Right. He didn't do for them. Right. We don't want to talk about that though, do we? No. We just want to look around and point fingers. You know, you can't let what other people see make you believe that that's how God sees it. As a matter of fact, I'll say it this way. We can't let how others see us fool us into believing that that's how God sees us. God wants you to have spiritual discernment. And those are two powerful words that you may have never heard before, but there's a second set of eyes that give you spiritual discernment. When you ask the Lord, Lord, would you open my eyes? I want to see things as you see them. This includes you. And God will begin to show you things about your life that you didn't know. He'll begin to show you things like your potential. He'll begin to show you things like ministry. He'll begin to show you opportunities. Because you're seeing through a different set of eyes. Your problems don't look the same to God that they may look like to you. They're really small to him. They're really insignificant. Maybe big to you, but when you get his eyes, things start paling in comparison. You start seeing what's really important. You start laying aside things that aren't. Acts 26, Paul says, Lord, I pray that you would open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. That's my prayer for us today, that we wouldn't miss the power of God that's right in front of us, that the Lord would give us a moment where he would open our eyes and that we would see things from his perspective and not just what we see. You know, when you walk through the seasons that you've had to walk through, it's easy for us to only see through one set of eyes and to see the issues and the problem. It's something completely different to start seeing things from God's perspective. But it brings hope when you do. It brings life. It brings encouragement. It brings peace that don't exist in our world. We're looking through the wrong set of eyes. Also want to make sure that you understand that your eyes are power outlets for your spiritual health. Jesus himself says this in Matthew 6, that the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, he says, your whole body will be full of light. There's a perfect parallel that Jesus makes between what you see and the power that you walk in. Now, he's not talking about just what you see, but how you see it, how you bring it in. The eyes that God wants to open today will help you to start closing your natural eyes to things that you shouldn't be watching. Things that you don't need to see. As a matter of fact, when we look at only carnal things, our spiritual eyes have to close. The Holy Spirit inside of you won't look at those things. There's a reason why pornography is such a power sucking thing in your life. You cannot walk in the great things that God has for you when you're busy looking at things that glorify the flesh and that push you into the demonic. Now, I'm not here to condemn you in any way. I'm simply saying there is hope for you. There's hope for you. There's hope for you. You don't have to live that way. There's a better way. Carnal eyes can't see spiritual things, and spiritual eyes won't look at carnal things. And for some of us, the reason why we're not experiencing the incredible power of God is that we're looking through the wrong set of lenses at the wrong things. You know, we offer our clean class here for anyone that's willing to take the course to help you get free from pornography. There's hope for you. There's hope for your marriage. There is hope for you. You don't have to live that way. And I'm not gonna sit here and preach against this stuff and not tell you how. There's hope for you. You can do this. And here's the great news. It's not as hard as you think. It isn't. The enemy would have you believe that you are powerless to stop. Let me just tell you, yeah, you are. But there's a God that is inside of you that can absolutely break the power of sin. He can. I'm living proof that he can do this. He wants to open your spiritual eyes so you won't settle for carnal things. You're better than that. You're better than that. Here's the second power outage thing that we can recognize in our lives as believers. Write this down if you would. Offenses are power drainers. Just like pornography, just like the things that we're allowing in our lives with what we see, this moves from what we see to what we feel. And when what we feel becomes corrupted, when we take offense at the things that God's word wants to confront, you will drain the spiritual power from your life. It says that when Jesus was speaking, instead of receiving the power and the authority that he was laying out there, they took offense at it. And it became personal. They took offense at him. And we live in a world today, we live in a culture that is consumed with offenses. This is the spirit of the age. Because we will surround ourselves with people that look like us, think like us, believe like us, vote like us. And anyone that has a differing opinion, we don't listen to change or to understand or to build a bridge or to build a relationship. We listen for offense. We listen for arguing points so we can turn back on someone else. And I am the best in the world at it. I'm really good. My parents, when I was 4 years old, said, "This kid is going to be a lawyer, except for the grace of God." Because I could do it. And in my own flesh, when I'm looking through the wrong set of lenses, when I'm full of offenses, I can take that offense-driven spirit and use it to make an argument about anything. If I want to. And so can you. We're good at it. We're trained. But offenses are power drainers. We listen to be offended, not to help. And it's a hard issue. Proverbs 18 says this, "A brother offended is more unyielding than a strong city." It's hard to get someone to yield that's been offended. It's even harder to get someone to yield that's taking on a secondary offense, which this is not just something that happened to you, but someone that you love. Unyielding. And it's difficult for us as believers to get into God's word with an offendable spirit and think that we're gonna yield to his word. We've gotta deal with the spiritual issue first. We are just like Nazareth. We hear the things from God's word, and when we don't agree with them, we get offended at it and say, that needs to change. God's word doesn't change. God's word changes you. Let me ask you this question. Can God's word disagree with you and you yield? An offended spirit will drown out the voice of the Holy Spirit. And in our church today, our capital C church, the body of Christ, an offendable spirit is what we're having to deal with. It's infiltrated from the culture to the church. And we live in a church that's full of offenses. And it keeps us from walking in the power of the authority that God has given us when it's literally standing right in front of our face. It's right here. The power problem is not God's. It's our ability to receive it. These are roadblocks to our power. What are the things you've been offended at? What are the things that have rubbed you the wrong way? I said in our first service, an offendable spirit, an offensive spirit, when you carry that around for so long, it comes out in what you say. It comes out in how you interact with people. It comes out in everything that you do in the context of relationships and even in your relationship with the Lord. It comes out at some point when the heart goes bad, everything follows, especially it starts with the mouth. And we literally become the human embodiment of the eye roll emoji. Everything is... And that worship team will play that song that you hate. I heard Francis Chan say one time that someone came up to him at the end of the service and said, "Pastor, I really hated that song today." He said, "Good, we weren't worshiping you." I don't speak to people that way, but I will quote him. You know, an offendable spirit will always assume the worst. Yes. And it assumes the worst of others. It can't believe the best. It can't have hope because it's only consumed with what will go wrong, what has gone wrong, what went wrong, what should have gone wrong. We live in offense. We're surrounded by offenses. And we wonder why the power is not at the level that it could be. We wonder why we still have strongholds when God has given us the power to demolish those. Do you see it? Hopefully I'm speaking to somebody today and not just myself. So not only what we see, but what we feel become supernatural power drainers. But number three, the absence of praise equals the absence of power. Jesus says, only in my hometown am I so dishonored. Only around my own people do I not have respect. Only around my own people do people not worship and praise. Because you're seeing through the wrong set of lenses, you've taken offense at my word, and now you refuse to honor. Do you see this today? Can you see this? Absence of praise equals absence of power. It said he did no miracles there because of it, because of their lack of faith. I was drawn to that word miracles. You know that that's the same word in the Greek language that we use now. And that word is dynamite. It's the Greek word dunamis, power, supernatural power, explosive power. It says that explosive power didn't happen there because of their unbelief. It's also the word that we use to describe the power of the Holy Spirit, dunamis, the power that is available for all believers, the supernatural power of God, the dunamis that is the power, the supernatural source of your life. Didn't happen. Why? Because of their unbelief, because of their lack of honor, because they refused to honor Jesus. I wonder what things would go from unpowered to extremely powerful if you would just praise. Yeah. Come on. If you would just honor Jesus. Yeah. I wonder what your marriage would look like if you brought praise back into your marriage. Yeah. I wonder what your finances would look like if you were honoring God with your finances. I wonder what God can do if you would take the lid off of that box and do what his word says and not follow along the same mistakes that his hometown made. When we look through the wrong set of lenses, we allow our hearts to become offended, when we allow that to affect our praise, and then we wonder, why am I not seeing the power of God to demolish strongholds in my life? Like, are we kidding ourselves here? God's source of power is unlimited. And his dunamis is available for all believers. The problem's not with him, it's with us. And I want to encourage you today to let these things challenge you to not live in that anymore. Lord, I see your word and I turn from that. I want your power. So I'm going to allow my life to yield and to change to become what you've ordained for me to become. It's that simple. I want to change. I don't want to be like this. I don't want to be offended all the time. I don't want to only see what my eyes can see. I want to see what you see. I don't want to allow these things that I'm seeing in my world, and there's a lot to see. I don't want to allow these things to destroy my praise anymore. You know, the 20 to 30 minutes that we do before we break into the Word of God, that's not there for your entertainment. That's there for your opportunity to receive power that you need. It's an opportunity for you to connect to the power source that's driving your life. And no one else can do it for you. We're going to give you the best that we can. We've sunk a lot of money and a lot of time, all of our talents and resources and energy to give you the best worship this city has ever seen. It's a big deal to us here, in case you didn't know. It's a big deal. Worship matters to God. Why does it matter so much? Because we like to hear good songs? No, no, no. Because God's people need power. And that's where the power comes from. Your praise is your power. You know, failing to worship Jesus properly doesn't hurt Jesus, it hurts us. 2 Peter 1 says, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You wanna become more like him? Praise. You wanna have real life? Praise. Why? Because it imparts to you supernatural power when you do. Jesus says, man, everywhere else, they'll give me respect, they'll give me honor. Everywhere else, they'll thank me. Everywhere else, they'll make a spot for me. Except in my own hometown. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Yeah. Jesus. Can anything good come out of you? Yeah. Jesus. As a matter of fact, David says, his nearness is my good. He's the only good thing about me. I am incredibly weak. I love that Paul, the Apostle Paul, when he's writing a third of this entire great book, he talks a lot about his weaknesses. And he says this in 2 Corinthians 12, when he's talking to God about his weakness, he says, but Jesus said back to me, my grace is sufficient for you and my power is made perfect in your weakness. Man, that's a good scripture for somebody like me. You feel weak, feel powerless, that's a great opportunity for God to do his best work. It says, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul says, yeah, I'm weak. But he's strong. Yeah, I've got mistakes. But man, he's perfect. Yeah, I've got my issues. But I know the one that can solve this. So I don't have to be perfect. He was perfect enough for me. I don't have to be strong all the time. He's strong enough for me. And the more that I even boast about my weaknesses, the more God gives me grace and fills me up with power that I need. You don't have to be strong to receive God's power. Your weakness is where God does his best work. You know, God is present in pain. He's present in weakness. And his power is available for all believers. And it does supernatural things in your life. It does. So pastor, where's all these supernatural things of the Bible? When are those things gonna start happening to me? Is that God's fault? Or can we change some things? Reminded in Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas, it said, walked into a town and they got harassed for several days by this demonic spirit. This thing was just harassing and harassing and harassing. And finally they said that we've had enough. Had enough of this. And Paul turns around and says, get out of her, you demonic spirit. Come out. And that thing comes out. Instead of people rejoicing about what just happened in that moment, they take offense, like many of us do. They didn't recognize the power of God. They took offense at it. And the word tells us that they beat them severely and they threw them in jail. Well, that doesn't seem like supernatural power, Lord. That doesn't seem like blessing. That's because you haven't read the rest of the story. It says, long about midnight, in the middle of their pain, they began to praise. They began to sing songs of praise to the Lord, honoring God in the middle of their pain and their weakness. And it says that other people in the jail began to join in, began to listen and sing. See, praise is contagious. And the power of God comes into a jail cell with two men that have been beaten and did no crime. The power of God shows up. It says an earthquake begins to shake that jail and the prison bars swing open. It says the jailer wakes up. That dude needs to be fired. He wakes up. And he sees that the doors are open and he assumes that everyone is gone. And he grabs his sword to kill himself because he knows that he's dead. And Paul says, hey, don't kill yourself. We're all still here. Think about that. The doors are thrown open and the prisoners don't leave. Why? Because they recognize where real freedom comes from. Well, God's presence is here. And I would rather be in here, full of his presence, than out there with what you call freedom. See, they start looking through their spiritual eyes and recognize that the power of God is true freedom. The power of God does things nothing else can do. And that same power that tore off chains, that same power that opened up prison doors, that same power that comforted people in the middle of their pain, it's still here today and it's available for every single believer. So my question to you is, have you asked the Lord to open your eyes? Have you asked him to be able to see things the way that he sees them? Have you turned away from things that you know don't belong in your mind, things that you don't need to be looking at? Have you made that choice to turn away from those? Because God will bless that decision. Have you gotten your eyes back into his word? Here's another question. Are you offended? Have you carried an offensive spirit? Because it's easy to do, by the way. It's easy to do. Our world is consumed with it. It's everywhere. Have you allowed those things to affect your heart, to rob you of the power that God has for you? How's your eyes? How's your heart? And then lastly, how's your praise? Is it just some songs on a screen? Or is it an attitude of your heart? Because there is power for you. If you would forget about the person on your right and left and just praise and honor the Lord, there's power that comes into our lives when we receive what is right in front of us. There's an opportunity for every single believer within the sound of my voice to receive supernatural power today, to be filled up to the place of overflowing. And it's all 110% available to you if you make your decision. That's on you. God is not going to impart power to people that won't receive it, people that don't want it. So it's up to you. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? For those of you that are watching online, I want to just guide you through a moment of honesty before the Lord and ask you about your heart, ask you about your eyes, ask you about your praise. If we were to look at ourselves and say, okay, is this a God power problem or is this a me power problem? Have I responded to the Lord? Am I doing what I need to do? How's my praise? Am I honoring the Lord? Am I thanking God for what he's given me? Am I thanking him that we didn't lose power? Have I remembered to thank him for the fact that we still had hot water when others didn't? Have I thanked him that maybe some pipes busted, but not all of them busted? What do I have to be thankful for? Have I praised God for what he has given me? Or have I just complained about what he gave somebody else? How's my heart? How are my eyes? Have I looked at things that I know I shouldn't be looking at? Have I turned away from those things? God wants to help you. You don't have to stay there. Ask him for help. If there are things coming to your mind, I want you to take a moment and say, okay, Lord, I yield. I yield. I'm turning from those things. I'm letting those offenses go. I'm turning away from my complaining. I'm going to turn back to praise. I'm turning back to the authority of your word. I want what you have for me. I don't want to miss anything. I say yes. Let me pray for you. Father, right now, everyone within the sound of my voice, Lord, we're having a moment of honesty before you, recognizing that in our weakness, you're strong, that you have power available for us, that perhaps we failed to walk in because of our own mistakes. I'm thankful, Lord, that you're perfect enough for me, and that in the middle of my weakness and my mistakes, you offer me hope. Thank you, Lord, for never giving up on me. Lord, would you open my eyes? Help me to see things as you see them. Would you cleanse my heart, Lord? Wash me. All the things that are offensive to me, big offenses, the things that people have done and things that I've harbored in my heart. Lord, I want to give those to you today. Would you cleanse my heart? And Father, lastly, I want to be a person of praise. I want to be a person that honors you, that remembers to say thank you, that does more than just read off a list of things that I'm thankful for, but Lord, means it in my heart. We are grateful that you have carried us through this far. I'm grateful that in the midst of global pandemic, Lord, I'm still here. My family's still here. We still have a church. We can still praise you. I'm thankful for the very breath that I'm breathing. There's a lot of people on ventilators. Lord, I'm grateful that my family is still healthy. I'm grateful that we still have groceries. I'm thankful that we didn't starve this week while other people did, Lord. I'm thankful that we have running water and something to drink, Lord. Don't let me take those things for granted. I have a lot to praise you for. I have a lot to be thankful for. You are a good God, and you've done good things. In spite of what our world is saying, and in spite of what our world is seeing, in spite of what our world is feeling, Lord, you're still good. You're still on the throne, and I still trust you. You're good. Everything that you do is good. Lord, open my eyes, change my heart, and receive my praise. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to finish today by asking you a simple question. My friend, do you know for a fact that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life? Have you ever taken that step? Have you ever asked him to come into your heart to forgive you of your sin? If you've never done that, I want to help you do that. It's as easy as saying a prayer. You can do it out loud or in your heart, but pray with me. I'll tell you what to say. I'll help you just like somebody helped me one time. The prayer goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Come on, pray with me. I believe that you came and died, but rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for all of my sins. I invite you to come into my heart, be the Lord of my life. I give myself to you today. In Jesus' name I pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you just pray that prayer, my friend, I'm so incredibly proud of you. If you look up at me, behind me is a number on a screen. I would love to connect with you if that's okay. The easiest way to do that is to text. Text the words I prayed, I-P-R-A-Y-E-D, to 94090. I'd love to connect and hear your story. I wanna encourage you to take the next step. You see, this is not the end of your relationship with God. This is the beginning. We wanna help you to be able to keep going. We'll give you some resources. It's free. It's our gift to you. Just wanna help you. Just asking you to text. Would you do that? For those of you that are watching online, if today was a particularly powerful message for you, if you feel like this would help your friends, do more than just like or comment. Would you do us a favor and share this message? Would you share it on Facebook, YouTube, social media? We believe that God's word, man, doesn't return void. And when we put this message out with your cooperation, you using your social media contacts, God can do amazing things. It's up to you. High Ridge family, would you guys look up at me and go ahead and stand to your feet? As we finish up today, I want to remind you of a couple things. Number one, God's still on the throne, and he loves you. He has a powerful plan in store for your life. Don't give up. And number two, your church loves you too, and I'm incredibly proud of you. I'm incredibly proud that you haven't quit and you haven't given up. Good for you. We're gonna invite our elders and their wives forward. We're gonna end this service like we do every service by giving you an opportunity to be prayed for. If you need prayer for anything that you may be walking through in your life, we would love to pray for you. For everyone else, let me bless you and send you out. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for this message. I thank you for your word. I pray that, Lord, as we get into your word, that your word would continue to change us, make us who we're called to be. Let us spend this week walking in the power that you have for us. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. God bless you as you go. I hope you have an amazing week.